Hi, I want to welcome you to our adult Sunday school class. In our time together, we're talking about how to study the Bible. If you were with us last week, we talked about two things about the preparation of Bible study. And this morning, we're going to talk about three more things that help you in your preparation. See, before you dive into Bible study, you should do some preparation. And the preparation we talked about last time was that you must be a Christian, because Christians are the only ones that can really understand the Bible. And secondly, we said you must deal with sin. These two things certainly hinder us from understanding the Bible. And now I want to talk about a desire. You must have a great desire, or any desire for that matter. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the Word. Listen to what he says there. As a newborn baby. Now, we've all been around babies, and we know that babies can have some pretty intense cravings, especially a newborn baby. And that's what he's saying right here, that just as they crave the breast of their mother, the milk that comes from their mother, so should we crave the Word of God. Warren Wiersbe makes a very important point here where he says it's sad when Christians have no appetite for God's Word, but must be fed religious entertainment instead. And I think that what we see going on much in our world and much in the church is religious entertainment. It's junk food. It's not a solid diet of the Word of God. And the only way that you and I can change that is for us to understand these issues and to make sure that we're studying the Bible. We're doing what we need to do to understand it. So as a baby craves the Word and his desire is very intense, we're to do the same thing. The word desire here means to long for. It means to yearn for. It's a deep desire. It means to long for something with the implication of recognizing a lack. You lack something here. You lack desire. You lack understanding. And so you need to go after the Word of God with that kind of attitude. If you think about it too, a baby's desire is very specific. He wants only one thing. He doesn't care what color the room is. He doesn't care what color the clothes are that he has on or what kind of clothes he has on. He doesn't even care if he has a diaper on. What he cares about is milk. And when he is hungry, he's saying, feed me. That's all he cares about. He didn't care about any toys you put in front of him. He just wants milk. And you know, the Bible tells us that God's Word is milk, 1 Peter 2:2. It's meat, Hebrews 5:11. It's bread, Matthew 4:4. It's honey, Psalm 119:103. It's all of these things. In fact, when we talk about milk or meat, we're actually talking about the fact, really, of how deep you go in the Word of God. It's all either milk or meat. If you dive in shallow water, then you're going to get the milk of it. If you go into deeper waters, you're going to get the meat of it. It's just how deep that you go. And so it's called all of these things. And as a child of God, you are to desire God's Word like a newborn baby. You are to intensely yearn for it. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 20. He says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. And really ask yourself, is that how you feel? Does your soul break with longing for God's Word? You say, well, I don't have a desire to get into it, and therefore I don't get into it. And I understand if you don't have a desire, then you're going to act on what you have or don't have. But really what we need to do is when you don't feel like praying, you don't feel like studying the Word, you need to recognize that those are the moments when you need it the most. And you should jump into it anyway. Even if it's just reading a chapter or reading a few verses, get it started. But definitely pray and ask God to help you with this. We are to pursue the Word of God. We are to be like the Samaritans. We are to be like the Bereans. We are to be like Jesus. Jesus said that his food was to do the will of him who sent me. And to finish his work. That's what drove him, was the Word of God. So we're to desire God's Word above all things. Job 23:12 says we're to desire above our necessary food. He says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We also need to desire it above our daily necessities. We get up every morning and we maybe get coffee or we get breakfast. We tend to our needs, our necessities. Our basic necessity is to eat. That's a basic necessity. And there he is saying in Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But get this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What's he say to seek? See, they seek after the necessities? No, he says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. John Piper says, what we hunger for most, we worship. And that is so true. And when it comes to the Word of God and it comes to studying the Word, not only must you be a Christian and not only must you deal with sin, but you need to have desire. Because like I said, if you don't desire to be in the Word, then you won't be in the Word. You won't even be thinking about the Word of God. You won't be thinking about how important it is that every day you spend time with God in His Word. Well, let me give you a fourth one. Fourth one is you must have a diligent approach. A diligent approach. Dennis Fitcher said, the secret of a deep love for God is spending unhurried time with Him. We live in such a fast-paced world. Everything is give it to me now. We don't want to wait for anything. We're in such a hurry. That's why we have drive-thrus at restaurants. And right now, they're very popular. But we want it now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to spend unhurried time. We don't spend time meditating on the things of God, thinking about the things of God. Again, we're in such a hurry. But think about this. We talk about a diligent approach. Your calling at salvation was a call to diligence. You were called first to enter the narrow gate. Matthew 7:13-14 talks about entering the narrow gate. Few who find it. That's a diligent approach. You were also called to seek God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You've got to give Him all yourself. And that's really the point I'm trying to make. We were called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow Christ. And he says in that passage that this is to be done daily. This is what we're to do every day. Every day we are to deny ourselves. Every day we are to take up our cross. Every day we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by reading His Word. We do that by praying. We do that by spending time with Him, unhurried time with Him. So when you picked up your Bible this morning, or I hope you have your Bible right now with you, did you just wake up in the morning and just jump up and start your day? Or did you say, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord, even before watching this, and have some unhurried time with Him? Have you scheduled out unhurried time with Him daily? I know you may have to get up and go to work, but do you schedule some time in that day, whether it's at before you leave for work, or whether it's during your lunch break, or when you get home from work? I know we have a lot of responsibilities, but we're talking about here priorities. And God and His Word should be the most of our priorities. It should be number one on the list. Everything pales in comparison to how important this time is. And since you were called to be diligent in coming to Christ, you must approach your relationship with Jesus with that same diligence. You must be diligent in how you present yourself to God, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there, one who is pleasing, one who is approved by God. You must be diligent in how you study it. You must read it carefully. You must interpret it accurately. Take that verse in 2 Timothy 2:15. He talks about rightly dividing the word. The word dividing means to cut or to make straight. It's talking about handling it correctly, correctly interpreting it. It was used of a craftsman cutting a straight line. It was used of a farmer plowing a straight furrow. It was used of a mason setting a straight line of bricks. It was used of a workman building a straight road. Metaphorically, it was used of carefully performing any task. Because Paul was a tent maker by trade, we know that from Acts 18:3, he may have had in mind the careful straight cutting and sewing of the many pieces of leather or cloth that was necessary to make a tent. He had to be careful to do this. And you need to be careful in how you handle the word. You need to correctly interpret it. Don't just take everything that you hear. Again, be like a Berean. Search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things that you're hearing are so. I challenge you with what I'm sharing with you on here to go and search the scriptures I'm sharing with you. Anytime I preach, I encourage you to do the same thing. Go and search the scriptures. And I tell you, if you spend daily time in the Word of God reading it, asking questions, trying to find out the answers to those questions in the Word yourself, you'll find that every time you hear someone teaching the Bible, you'll be able to listen and understand whether what they're saying is truth. Unless it's just an area that you're newly exposed to. All the Word of God is truth. There's no contradictions when it's rightly laid out. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. Even in Genesis 41:15, when Pharaoh wanted Joseph to interpret his dreams, do you remember what Joseph said? He says, "It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." It's God who gives the understanding. And so therefore, we need to understand how important it is to be a Christian, how important it is to deal with sin, how important it is to have a diligent approach, how important it is for us to pray. And we'll talk more about that in a few moments. But you know, even those who serve in the church, those who serve as elders, pastors in the church, they are to be counted worthy of double honor. And then it says this in 1 Timothy 5:17, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. They labor. Think about that. Laboring at studying the scripture. You say, "Well, that's not for me. I wasn't called to do that." Well, you're a Christian, aren't you? You're called to study it. You're called to study God's word. Yes, you need to labor at it. But probably the most important thing that I need to share with you would come on this next point. And that is, you must be spirit controlled. See, all this means nothing unless the Spirit of God is part of your life. And as a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not His, Romans 8. But because you have the Spirit, you need to yield to the Spirit. Now, there's one thing about possessing the Spirit, and there's another thing about being controlled by the Spirit. You must constantly be controlled by Him instead of you being in control. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You notice both of those verses are talking about the same thing. Because if you study the results that follow from Ephesians 19 into chapter 6 and verse 4, or Colossians 3:17 and following, you'll find out that the results are the same. He says, "Be filled with the Spirit." He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And so I would surmise to say this, that being filled with the Spirit is letting the word of God control you. Letting the word of God be on your mind, doing what the word of God says, listening to the word, putting the word in your mind. And therefore, if that's the case, we want to put all His word in our mind constantly. When you're going throughout the day, listening to things that spur you to think about Scripture, listening to Christian music, music about God, about Scripture, Scripture memory songs. We do a lot of that in church, you know that. Listening to these songs, putting this in your memory, memorizing Scripture, reading passages of Scripture, reading books about the Bible, about Scripture. All these things are helpful. Let me give you two quotes that I think are very important at this point. Ari Torrey points out that if we are children of God, we are not so much to pray that the Spirit may come and dwell in us, for He does that already. We are rather to recognize His presence, His gracious indwelling, and give to Him complete control of the house He already inhabits, and to strive to live as not to grieve this Holy One, this divine guest. Notice He says, give Him complete control of the house. Charles Stanley, he makes some good points here. He says, when Paul said to be filled with the Spirit, he was not commanding us to sit around passively and wait for something to be poured into us. The Holy Spirit has already been poured in. If you are a believer, you have already been filled with the Holy Spirit the way the men and women in Acts were filled. And there he's talking about the fact that the Spirit possesses you, indwelling you. He has taken up permanent residence in your heart. You have all of Him you are ever going to get. The question is, and I like this, how much of you does He have? The Spirit-filled life begins once we are absolutely and thoroughly convinced that we can do nothing apart from the indwelling strength of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, being filled with the Spirit means being controlled by God's Word. And so therefore, you need to take time and read the Bible. That's where it all begins. You know, when I get into the actual how-tos, that's where we're going to start. It starts with reading and scheduling time to do that. You must be diligent to do this, and you must be filled with the Spirit to do this. So to be filled with the Spirit, you have to be a Christian to possess the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit, you have to deal with sin in your life. But let me give you the last one. You must pray. You must pray. You must pray for understanding. You must ask God to open your eyes to His Word. David prayed this in Psalm 119, verse 18. He said, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Proverbs 3:5, we must seek understanding with all of our heart. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We must pray for understanding. We must ask the Lord to help us. This is His Word. He's the author of it. And if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit of God within you. You have the author right inside of you. G. Campbell Morgan gives this method of Bible study. He says, read and gain an impression. Think and gain an outline. Meditate and gain an analysis. Sweat and gain an understanding. We must pray for understanding, but we also must pray for cleansing. We need to admit our sin before God. When David sinned against Bathsheba, sinned against God in having Uriah killed, and therefore having adultery with Bathsheba and so forth, when he finally came to the point of owning up to his sin, Psalm 51:3 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. He acknowledged his transgressions. He admitted his sin to God. And that's what you and I must do. We have to acknowledge our sin to God. 1 John Chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then last, we must accept His forgiveness. Psalm 103 and verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, what kind of preparation are you making to meet with God? Again, you must be a Christian. You must deal with sin. You must have great desire. You must have a diligent approach. You must be Spirit-filled. And you must pray. Now, if you're watching this right now, you're watching it through Facebook, type in something down in the bottle. Tell me what you're doing. Share with me some of the things that you're doing that help you in your understanding of the Bible or spending time with God in His Word. and then take some time and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had in God's Word. We thank you so much for the opportunity that we have each week and really each day to study it. I pray for everyone that joined me during this time that they will take into account these things and make the preparation necessary to study your Word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.